Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by sex and intimacy coach John Wineland to talk about understanding our masculine and feminine energies as the foundation to deeper, hotter sex, regardless of who you're sleeping with, being a more conscious partner and lover, and how slowing down everywhere will make your connection that much better, and why learning the difference between no and not yet can make a huge change in the bedroom. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our website, our blogs, our posts, everything we have there. We put out, my team puts up, so you can have better sex and relationships all year long and every single day. We care about that. I also care about you and your sex life, what kind of sex you're having, what kind of sex you want to have. So check out my survey. I'm doing an alternative August survey all month. It's on our website, and you can get it at sexwithemily.com/August, or you can also find it on all of our social media, which is at Sex with Emily across the board. And why I love this survey that we're doing, it's actually a survey, and it won't take you long, but it really helps me figure out who you all are. Like, what kind of sex do you want to have? Do you want to have more alternative sex? What's your sexual orientation? And a few questions about the show as well. And I know whenever we've done surveys here, you guys have always shown up for me. So I appreciate it. And it's in the name of science. We're getting some good research from that as well. So thank you, everybody, for joining me here today. I'm really excited about my guest. It turns out he was on the show exactly a year ago, August 15th, 2017. He was on his show. It was called Hotter, Deeper Sex with John Weiland. And I'm sitting here with John Weiland. John teaches the art of masculine leadership. He's an LA-based men's group facilitator, speaker, teacher. He's been guiding men and women in the realm of life purpose, sexual intimacy, and embodiment. And he does truly groundbreaking work, so much so that I was really taken by our conversation and inspired when he was on the podcast. I went to a retreat with him in Hawaii. And it wasn't even about being in Hawaii. By the way, I barely saw Hawaii. I didn't even skip out. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to the beach. I was enthralled. I was in it for 5 days. So, John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks for being here. Yeah, I know. It's like our little anniversary. I love it.
We'll do this every August 15th for, you know, the next
year. I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'm cool with that. I'm always really like uplifted and inspired by our conversations and all the work you're doing. And I just love watching all your success and that you're continuing to grow and teach even more. And even though a lot of your, I think you guys are going to be really inspired as well and moved. He teaches a lot of courses, which are sold out right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can check out all of his work at johnweiland.com, and maybe there'll be some spots open. He has a book coming out, finally.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, no, I think like you do need to write a book. I know, it really is. Yeah,
like I know.
You know a bit about it. Yeah. So I went to your retreat. Mm-hmm. What was it called exactly?
Spiritual Intimacy and Yogic Sexuality, I think.
Oh,
like
okay,
that.
Right. Yeah. That's good, because that's what I got out of it. Yeah. And what I wanted to talk about was that, because we haven't really talked on the show about it since my experience. I think I talked a little bit about it, but it's easier to have you here. And so this is what has really stuck with me, is that there was a lot of, how do we break this down though? It was for single women and men and couples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just thought, it was a small group, it was like 50 of us, which it felt intimate.
Yeah.
It did. I mean, to like 50, but no, it was like in a, you know, lovely setting. And I just saw that the work was really powerful, and it was it really like felt like I had dropped in, I slowed down, I really got more into my heart and learned more about like tantric practices, kundalini. Mm. Did we do yogic sex?
We didn't take off our clothes, but
damn,
yeah, there was a lot of yogic
sexuality.
And
I was like, I was not naked. Actually, we weren't even allowed to have sex.
Know, yeah.
And it made me actually want to be in a relationship at the time, which I was not. It made me think about how powerful. It was amazing to see the couples there and their transformation after just a few days.
Yeah.
You know, couples coming all, they'd been together for a year to 25 years, 30 years, and just to see how they can drop in and connect in ways that I'm sure they had tried before and they were unable to do until they were there. So first, I kind of want to talk about this because this is something that you, one of your main tenets of what you do. And if you guys haven't listened to John's work before, talking about just the masculine and the feminine, and you talk about this often, but how the importance of praising the feminine and how the feminine grows from praise and how men grow from challenge. And just something about that. You would also sit on the show, but sitting there, I was thinking, it kind of made me feel like, oh, that's why it empowered me so much. It made me feel comfortable even more so asking like my partner now. I'm like, if you don't compliment me in certain ways, like, I need to hear it. It's like I'm your plants. He loves plants. And when they, I'm like, what if you left for a week and didn't water your plants? Like something happened and he was super busy with work and we didn't see each other for like a week or 10 days. And it was like empty. I'm like, I got no praise. We weren't really connecting or physical touch. And I'm like, it's just, we need that. And how we grow from praise and how men grow from challenge was one thing. Also, I loved this, the great way to give feedback without attacking your partner. So many couples are like, how do I talk to my partner? Probably one of the main things I talk about is teaching couples how to communicate better and get what you want. And one of the great exercises we did on your retreat was what I need you to do for my heart to fully trust you.
Yeah.
Right?
Something like that.
Is that right? Something like that. Like,
so
rather than saying, what I would need is, instead of saying, you need to give me more compliments or you need to take me to dinner or you need to turn off the TV and pay attention to me. It's like, why do they need to do any of that? But if you put it in the frame of, this is what I would need from you for me to be able to drop into this relationship and really trust you. I just thought that was really powerful. And like reading through all my notes, it just got me like, okay, we're here. So I wanted to talk about, just let's go back to the basic masculine feminine breakdown here, because that's kind of the basis of what a lot of what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the basic.
That was a lot.
And
then I got to talk about childhood wounds, but let's just start with, those were two of my big.
Okay. Sure. So we all have a masculine and a feminine. Right, we all have, these are universal energies, right? Yin and yang, North Pole, South Pole, consciousness and energy. I mean, the world is filled with, there's two specific laws around intimacy. The first is that we're all the same, right? We're all human. You know, I have fear, you have fear. I have a soul, you have a soul, if you believe in that, right? I want love, you want love. And the first step in getting intimacy is to see that in each other. Like, yeah, like, you know, I'm goodness, you're goodness, and kind of give each other, start from that place of we're the same. And that's great, but there's not a lot of fuck in that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so so a lot of couples get there where they're truly
fuck, you mean like not a lot of hot
not
sex.
A lot of hot. Right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I figured I could cuss. I think I remember I can cuss. You can slap me down.
Of course, swear.
I'm a potty mouth, yeah. So that's the first step, is really like finding sameness, like in recognizing each other's humanity. There's also the laws of polarity, which the universe has too. Magnetism is a perfect law of polarity. And what we realized is that along with sameness, there needs to be difference. And this is not gendered. The problem is a lot of people conflate this with gender.
Well, that's why I need to explain it. They're like, no, I'm not like that. I'm like, we all have those energies in us.
Right. We all have them. And for there to be the deepest kind of sexual intimacy, we need both the sameness recognized and we need the differences recognized. And one way to work with this, you know, my teacher, David Dana, talked about this a lot. He's written a lot of books on this, so you can definitely check out his books, listeners, if you want to get more into this.
Yeah, D-E-I-D-A, I'm a fan of his work.
And he outlined that for there to be the deepest connection and the hottest sexual polarity, meaning charge, that one person had to animate their masculine and relax their feminine, and one person had to animate their feminine and relax their masculine. And when you have that coupled with the, you know, we're one, basically, I'm human, you're human, you get really deep connected sex, right? And so the masculine and the feminine really are speaking to universal energies that we all have. Now, the rub here is that still, for most people, especially over 30, most men identify with their masculine.
Right.
Right. Not all.
We're talking about in the bedroom specifically when it comes to intimate relationships.
That's the first place. But, you know, and we'll get into a little the distinctions between the two. And then most women identify with their feminine, even though they might have, you know, mad masculine capacity in the workplace, in the courtroom, and the, you know, wherever they are, wherever they're doing. But at their heart, they would prefer to be ravished and taken somewhere
and cherished,
deep,
right?
Cherished, ravished, taken someplace deeply by somebody that they trust, right? That's how you know you have a feminine sexual essence. You would prefer to be ravished, penetrated, led, rather than you do the leading,
right.
You know, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Now, you might want that sometimes, but that's not where your home is.
Exactly. We're not saying this is absolute. And this comes out when you say ravished, and it just reminds you of why so many people say, why is it that women want to be dominated during sex? Or what does it mean that she wants me to throw it out? It's this base thing that women, it's like all the Harlequin romance novels of him taking her in his arms. There is this fantasy that women have, this desire, this deep energy, this pull that women in their base feminine desire is it to be ravished, to be taken, that a man wants her, her partner wants her so badly that he literally can't do any, he has to have her take her. And that's what we're talking about.
He'll walk through a wall.
He'll rip
people apart to walk.
Right. And that's what they mean when she says, throw me against the wall. Like, even if her, like, I was like, oh, it's too aggressive. No, but she just wants to feel like you couldn't help it. Like, you wanted her so badly. Your blood was boiling how badly you desired her.
Yes.
That's what we're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. If you prefer that, then you are a feminine essence.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes.
And if you prefer to be the ravisher, right, and to be washed with the energy, right, if you're just really wanting energy, so you want to, if you want to be surrendered to sexually, which most masculine
partners
do.
And again, I want to just say one thing too, that let's explain that this be gay relationships, same sex couples,
absolutely,
same thing. There's usually there, to make sex hot, there's a masculine and feminine energy. So I just want to put that out there that that's how it plays.
Doesn't matter the gender orientation or the sexual
someone's
orientation.
Someone's leading, someone's following. Yeah. So let's talk about the male, because you often say the surrendering, they want the feminine to surrender them, but how do you explain what that feels? Because ravishing is easier for me to understand than for men, maybe being like, what? Surrender?
Yeah. Well, I think you did a great job explaining ravished.
Yeah, so let's talk surrender.
Right.
So what the masculine wants.
You want to be trusted fully. Like, I want to know that I can take you someplace that you can't take yourself, sexually especially. Like, there's a place in your heart, there's a place in your body that, you know, you can do all kinds of things on your own, but there's certain things that you can't do on your by yourself. And for you to surrender your capable leadership, which you're probably pretty good at, and trust me, right? And literally give me your body, your heart, the deepest part of both. That would be a surrender, like a full bodied, you know, the way it occurs to the masculine partners, like, take me, I'm yours, like, kind of like a sexual helplessness.
Right.
And the masculine craves that deeply, to be trusted so much that you'll give me everything.
Okay. So here's my question. I guess, cause I'm a woman, I understand this more. I intrinsically understand that experience. I hear from women all the time, that's what they desire. But for men, they don't use those words. Not like, I just want her to, they might say, why won't she do anal? But they're not saying to me like.
But that's a question of surrender.
Right, it is.
That's a surrender. I mean, that illustrates, anal True. Illustrates exactly that.
It's like
that.
The taboo, give me your anus.
Well, for you to surrender that part of your body to me and do it open-heartedly and with complete desire, that is a surrender.
That's true.
One that of the is, biggest fucking is, surrenders, that's which is why men love it.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, it feels good. It doesn't necessarily feel better than, you know, than regular sex.
But it means something in the sexual.
It means something. It means you're surrendering and trusting me.
Right. It is the ultimate act of trust and surrender.
Absolutely.
Right. Because we're not just giving around our anus willy-nilly.
No.
So.
I'm not.
I'm not either. And if you are, that's cool. But right. We don't. It still means something. It's taboo. Okay. So let me give you another example. Because I hear from just as many women who are saying my partner or saying this about their male partner is, he doesn't want sex as much. He doesn't initiate. Sometimes I think he doesn't even like it. He did at the beginning. I tell him what I want. He doesn't listen. So what about that? Where is that guy not, or that masculine energy not connecting? Because that's a really common.
Yeah.
So what's that guy all tripped up on?
Well, you know, there's a couple different ways to go about this. So first of all, men are the masculine, sometimes I'll say men because most men are masculine essences, but that's not always true. The masculine prefers peace, nothingness, numbness, emptiness, less. So the masculine in me, even the masculine in you, right? And the masculine in a lot of women these days, you know, a lot of women meditate, they actually love that part. And the masculine in all of us prefers that. Well, sex and relationship are a whole lot of something. And so we're not necessarily, when I say we, I mean, you know, masculine guys, I consider myself a masculine essence. Mm-hmm. We love you, and yet that's not where we would want to go naturally. Now, in the first year and a half, there's hormones, there's dopamine, there's all kinds of drugs that are helping us like continually go there.
Right.
But once you get into a longer term relationship, that's just kind of natural. Mm-hmm. The masculine is thinking about purpose, thinking about success, and thinking about freedom. Success to the masculine occurs as freedom. Mm-hmm. Right. I'll be free when I write my book. I'll be free when I make this much money. I'll be free when I have this kind of sex. I'll be free when I travel the world. I'll be free. Right. And so a lot of men are living in that myth that freedom is hitting a goal of some kind.
Right.
For the feminine, the question is more like, when will there be enough love? Right? There'll be enough love when I find the right guy, or there'll be enough love when we have the right sex, or there'll be enough love when my husband does this.
Right.
There'll be enough. And both of them are myths, right? There's never enough freedom.
There's never enough anything.
And there's never enough love, right? And and so here we are.
Or the flip side, there is enough, as there is in the moment. Like
In the moment, right. Exactly. That's a great point.
But keep thinking that you're going to get somewhere.
Yeah, that's
where it's all going to happen. When you get married, you have the kids, the house, the perfect partner. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
But the essence of the feminine in you and in me is love. And the essence of the masculine in you and me is consciousness, or that which never changes. Mm-hmm. Right. I know we're getting into the spiritual intimacy.
That's okay.
Part.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. So,
So the part of us that never changes, some people would call it God. Some people would call it, you know, consciousness. Some people would call it entering Zen, you know, depending on where you come from. But the part of you that is always there, right? Everything changing is the feminine. That's why when we're talking about sex, you don't want your if you're a feminine partner, you don't want your masculine partner to be, you know, screaming and wailing and moving all around. Ah! Would that turn you on?
No.
But ask a masculine partner.
They want that.
He wants that.
And that's why women are thinking they need to do that, because they see porn sort of
Yes, that's why porn
that.
Does what it does.
And women are like acting exactly. like the right. But the truth exactly. is, the reason why that's happening in porn is that, yes, that's something that's very attractive to men, but only if it's authentic. It's coming from you. Women all have the capacity to feel, to be loud, to be open and truly express themselves. But I think we hold ourselves back because we're not feeling safe and desired, perhaps, from our partners, and it all goes in. Yeah, yeah. But going back to this, I'm going to go back to the sex thing, because I liked my example and you thought it was about women wanting to be ravished and how that feels. I still can't. I need the example for the men, and then we're going to move on. How that heightened sex feels when he's feeling the
surrender.
The surrender.
Well, can we use your anal example?
Please.
Because that really is the perfect example.
No, I love
it.
Let's do it.
So let's say I'm with my partner, and this is on the table. Anal's on the table, and you know it's obviously something that is not easy for every woman to do. There's a certain level of trust inherent in that, and there's obviously pain involved sometimes, right? And so there's a certain level of having to relax her body and surrender into me penetrating her deeply.
Right.
Probably the deepest place in her body,
So,
And so I'm penetrating the deepest part of her body. She has to relax her body. She has to sort of open her heart to me. Otherwise, I don't think she would trust me, right? So there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen that occur to me as absolute surrender of her heart and body.
Right.
And the other thing that the masculine craves in sex is the energetic range.
Yeah, that's it. Women bring the energy. So
yeah, women bring the energy. Men bring the presence and the structure and the, To me and to most guys that I know, like that kind of surrender, another example would be tying you up. And so the more we get into the taboo pieces where I'm tying you to the bed and leaving you there for a couple of hours and saying, here, you get to eat grapes for 2 hours and I'll be back. And that kind of sex play, that's why it's such a hot play for people with, legitimate masculine and feminine essences, because the feminine wants to surrender in her heart now this gets into the consent piece we were talking about, to somebody that she can trust implicitly.
Right. And it's that trust thing, like I've always said here, and like women feel safer, women are more likely to enjoy sex, report having satisfying sex, and more orgasms when there was someone they can trust. Mm-hmm. And trust goes so much deeper than just like, I know who he is, I know where he lives, and I feel like he's not going to hurt me. I Googled him, his face, we have friends on Facebook. We're talking about this deeper level trust.
Can we bring that deeper level trust back to anal sex?
Yes.
Okay,
please.
It is
alternative August, which used to be called anal August, but I've expanded it.
Awesome.
So yes, perfect.
Okay, so if we're together, we're in a sexual moment, right? And you can't feel me feeling your heart, like I'm not looking into your eyes, I'm not breathing with you, I'm moving very fast, or I'm disconnected, right? I'm not in my body, or I'm just kind of rushing. Your heart won't feel me feeling you.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be able to trust me with anal sex. So the level of, that's a perfect example from the masculine. Like if you want to go there, men, if this is something you want to go to, this is one of those things where there's a lot of trust that has to be worked up slowly she really needs to be felt, especially if you're in that part of her body, because it could be dangerous. It could be painful. If your heart disconnected, it's abuse.
Exactly.
It's abuse.
It is abuse. Yeah. And I think that we sense that sometimes when we're like, he's disconnected or he doesn't get, it's because it's what we're talking about. Yeah. And also you guys, anal sex can be painful, but we talk a lot about how to do it. So when you're breathing and if it is painful, you guys, you're not breathing, using enough lube and slowing down. Mm. So much about great sex is slowing down. Mm. Let's talk about the energy you're saying, feeling safe and being able to recognize it, feeling it in your body and knowing that your partner trusts you and it's this reciprocal energetic exchange. So when I went on the retreat and we did the exercises, I had never done anything like that. Mm. I'd read about it, I'd studied it, but to actually be able to sit there with a guy I didn't know and I'd met there during the retreat and there was I love that you told the couples they shouldn't even have sex for those 5 days. So it really wasn't about that. It was more about building attraction again and that energy. So here was a guy that I did not know. We had to sit in a few exercises for a half hour, looking,
an hour.
Looking into each other's eyes with the goal of, being present, feeling our breath sync up, the energetic flow. I've talked a little bit about that on the show, but I think that is also a basis for a lot of what you do, that it's a practice. I do want to talk to you about how we can get our partners, if they can't go to a retreat, like how do you even just start? Because there are things, if you don't sit there for an hour, how can you start connecting and feeling that trust? How do we sink into that?
Yeah. Well, in a retreat, partner. We have to do it slower yes. because, you know, because we want everybody to feel safe and, you know, we want
no,
everybody to kind of warm up well. But with somebody who's your partner, 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
That's it, right.
Yeah. And the thing you're talking about is trust is a byproduct of limbic resonance. And limbic resonance happens when I'm looking into your eyes, I'm looking past the surface of your eyes, and I'm actually feeling deeper. Like you can feel me doing that now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm looking now and if I look, you can actually feel when I look deeper than just your eyes,
yeah.
you know? So that's one step. The second step would be for me to sync my breath up with your breath, right? And then you breathe in, I'm breathing in, and we kind of link up our breaths. And then if I relax the front of my body and I feel your heart, right? Like you can feel yeah. me feeling your heart mm-hmm. right there. We're getting into limbic resonance. And when we're in limbic resonance, they show that brain waves match up, heart rates match up. There's actually a certain kind of chemical thing that happens that builds trust. Yeah. And so those things can happen in 2 or 3 minutes. And as we do that, right, we're recognizing the sameness mm-hmm. as we do that. Now, the moment I start bringing a little more masculine energy, meaning I'm feeling inside of you, I'm like, I keep using the word penetrate because mm-hmm. that's just the one that seems to, that really works when we're talking about sex. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling into you and you're inviting me to feel into you. Right? Now we've added sexual polarity. Right? So if you start with the limbic resonance and then you start to bring in that energy where you're the deepest invitation, your body is she who must be touched, mm-hmm. right? Is the way that my partner would, or my teacher would call okay. it. And I am he who must be trusted. Now we've got both.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
And that's the kind of trust that we're talking about.
Right? And I was going to say, I did feel that. I was like, I'm not going to get there. Like, my heart's shut down right now. I don't know this guy. But I did after sitting there. And then we had to bring our sexual, what were we to bring our energy?
Range, yeah.
Bring our range. Like, I had to bring, like, I wasn't really supposed to move. But I was supposed to not say anything, but bring, like, get turned on in my own head. And then bring that. And they could feel the waves.
Well, I think we had you guys work amazing. On being the invitation.
We did bring the invitation. Yeah. All of it. Yeah. It was. I loved it, John. Let's talk about what has changed or the work that you're doing around Me Too. Hashtag Me Too, the movement that's been going on for about a year now. Mm. I think when did Harvey Weinstein, in October it came out.
Yeah, right.
And a lot longer than that, obviously. Yeah. But I think that there is a lot of fear now that men are experiencing around how do I approach women?
Yeah.
Like, and then there's, the whole like getting consent and doing a video, you know, do I have your consent to kiss you? I mean, all of it's very confusing. And then I've heard from some people like men are scared now. Right. Women are wondering like, you know, who can I trust or why aren't my partners actually bringing it? There's just fear.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
more so.
Yeah.
So how are you dealing with this climate and working with people right now?
Yeah. Okay. So the way that I'm doing with that is I'm having men recognize first how much pain the collective feminine is in. And this is not just current levels of disconnection. Like this is literally for 200,000 years, women were property. That's nothing right? It's only been a few thousand years and 100 years where women have had the right to vote in most, you know, right? So for 200,000 years, women were property. And this is living in the limbic system and the nervous systems of all women, right? And now there's kind of a waking up, like a collective waking up of the feminine. And men are confused because all of a sudden this, not just your anger about right. your life and your relationship to men and all of that, but it's, generations of being raped and right. tortured and, you know, and shut
angry,
down.
Right?
Yeah. So the first thing I'm trying to do is get men to see that and really feel, like make a practice now of feeling deep into her pain, and not just her pain, but the collective pain of the feminine. And if you can start from there, and if
how
men
do you
can
do
take
that though?
Well, you know, I
mean, because so many men access it through the intellectual.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. So
they're like, yeah, it's been painful, but I'm paying her rent right now. Whatever guys are thinking, I'm just saying, or I'm doing this for her and that. It's not that bad. But we are talking about the suffering of women. Like it is out there. It's been there. We feel it. I love that you're bringing.
Yeah, yeah. Like so I had an exercise on Saturday night where I had all the men stand in front of the women. And okay. We did that practice, sink your breath, look into her heart, you know, sync up with her. And then I had the women say no in every possible way for must have been 10 minutes. And they were yelling no, they were begging no, all the no's that they couldn't say. And the men were just weeping and the women were screaming. And it was just this really beautiful experience mm-hmm. of men feeling how much pain is in the feminine body.
Okay.
And I guess you could try that at home. I don't think you should.
Don't try this at home. But I understand
you have to decide to feel it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not hard to actually feel somebody more once you decide to feel them more. Mm-hmm. You just have to make an intention to feel more. And, you know, of course, the exercise that we just talked about mm-hmm. helped that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, definitely. Yeah. I remember doing something similar to that on your retreat.
Yeah. Yeah. So I start there.
Right.
And then from there, then you can start to feel like, you know, where is she a yes and where is she a no? Right. But once you can feel like, hey, I'm in a lot of pain and I actually have to be super impeccable for her to trust me and super present for her to trust me because she's carrying not only mistrust of her whole life, but like for all women in a certain way mm-hmm. And generations back. I don't know if you know this book, It Didn't Start With You.
No.
Great book about epigenetics, about how trauma gets passed down from generation to generation. It's really, really freaking good book.
Yeah, I would love to read that.
Anyway, so if men are doing that, then I'm just training them to start to get in sync with what women are going through, like this massive waking up. And if you do that and then you go out on a date, like I was thinking, women are dying to be thrown up against the wall. It's a great example. Uh-huh. Like, how would you like me to come up and say, you know, is it okay if I throw you up against the wall?
No, I'm like, okay, like, I just know.
You'd be like, what the
you
fuck,
you could make
man?
Me sandwich though because that made me hungry, yeah. not horny.
Yeah. So men have to try to feel like, where is that moment where her eyes and her body tell me, throw me up against the
so
wall?
So this is like the nonverbal consent.
Totally.
That you've been doing.
Yeah, nonverbal.
You have a great blog about it and a lot of posts on your website too. Mm-hmm. You can check out. But let's explain that, the nonverbal, what you're saying, mm-hmm. reading into it. The body language.
Yeah. So let's say I'm on a date with somebody, okay. right? Let's say I'm on a date and I don't even have to let her know, but I'm slowing down. I'm looking into her eyes. I'm looking deeper into her. I'm trying to breathe with her. Like you just took an inhale.
But not in a creepy, like you don't understand.
No, in an attentive way.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't tell her like right now I'm doing this thing, but you could actually, it's accessible to you at any moment.
At any moment.
And everyone should slow down all the time sexually and even when you're on a date. So okay.
And you don't have to like brag about like, hey baby, I'm getting really present right now. You know, it's just like, but you slow it down and you start to put your awareness, like I have my awareness now on my thoughts, but if I put my awareness on you, meaning I'm actually feeling you. When I put my awareness on you, that means I'm feeling you, not mm-hmm. my own thoughts. Right? I could put my mm-hmm. awareness on the room and feel the shape of the room. I could put my awareness on La Brea and mm-hmm. feel the car, you know? So you train men to actually put their awareness on the partner that they're with and just begin to like feel her, like feel what happens when she, you know, when she moves her hand this way. Does that feel good to her? Mm-hmm. Right, and you can start to.
Is that through the nerve when you talk about training men and their nervous system and stuff? Is that mm-hmm. what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Because I know you talk a lot about that.
Yeah, it's nervous system training. You can train your ninja do it. Mm-hmm. Athletes do it.
Right.
Like you know, FBI interrogators do it.
Right.
Like there's a lot. People have been trained throughout the centuries to feel other people, and feel where they're at and what they're doing and what's happening in the space. Right. Well, as lovers, we can do that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're on a date, you're kind of feeling it, and really you're paying attention. And then through paying attention
meticulously, right? exquisite attention.
Yeah. And not attaching judgment, like, oh, she moved her hand. It must mean she's nervous or she wants to leave. Like mm-hmm. people just also notice things and then they go off in their brain thinking it means something.
Yeah.
When really, if you just stop and you're noticing the movement, she's pulling back, she's moving forward and just
yeah. She's opening. She's opening her body and her heart to me or right. she's closing.
Okay.
Like for example, let's say we're on a date and I start talking really fast and I'm just kind of talking about myself, my career and everything that I'm doing. And I do this and I do that. And I do this and I start to notice like your body starts to get tense, which right. it probably would.
Yeah, for sure. I just did.
You stop breathing. Right. And then I recognize like, oh, I'm nervous. I'm making her tense. And then I start to slow down my speech. And then I watch and then I see your shoulders drop.
Right.
I've just noticed what's happening with you. Right? And so let's say we keep going on the date and there's some fun and we're sitting, you know, I move next to you in the chair and we're talking and the same thing, I pay exquisite attention to your body, intention or relaxation. And if it's in relaxation and we have a moment where our eyes lock and I just kind of lean forward a little bit to you and your body, you take a breath or you relax or you sigh or you do something, then I know we're good and I can move forward. And it can actually be kind of hot, right?
Right.
To kind of hold the tension. And so holding that tension a little bit longer would give you a piece of information like, hey, and then let's say from there, I'm holding the tension, but then I put my hand on your leg and there's like a kind of an opening that happens or there's a relaxation or there's like, or maybe you sigh deeper, right? Then I know, okay, this is a yes. And I could keep doing that without asking you permission.
Right.
You're giving me permission because I'm so present.
Okay, but let's talk about when this goes wrong. So why does this happen so often where a guy keeps trying a person, a partner, you guys understand what I'm saying, which is easier to use heterosexual male.
Yeah.
And he keeps putting your hand, you move it away, puts his hand back, why
well, that's an unconscious dude.
But that's like, I would say that's the majority of, not even men, humans that I know.
Yeah.
In this world, you come into, they're mostly unconscious.
Yes.
So we're talking about bringing people who are mostly unconscious. You know, maybe when something really intense happens or they're at work, like we get more conscious. But in these situations, you hear more about that, like unwanted advances.
Yeah.
Because they're just unconscious. So it's kind of like, and I hope that for people listening, they're like, oh yeah, that has happened. So this is accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you find that, you know, I hear from people all the time, like I kept making moves and it didn't happen or I get rejected. It's like, I really think slowing down and paying attention, like you're saying, is like, would give you so many more answers.
Well, if a man's having that,
like real connections too.
Yeah. If that's happening, if you're pushing my hand away, that means I haven't established that base level of trust. Like you're not feeling me feeling you. If you were feeling me feeling you and there was attraction and it was a good date, then it probably would go different. But normally when that's not happening, a man is in the thought of, oh, I should be confident or I should be bold and I should go for it and I should do all that stuff without actually feeling her. That is also a kind of abuse, right?
Right.
Because then you're putting in her a position where she has to say no, which is hard for her.
Let's talk about why it's finish your thought.
So
there.
I would just say if that's happening and for your listeners, if you're having the advances swatted away, slow down, try to see if you can get her to feel you feeling her. And you can note that by the cues that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Breath, relaxation, softening of the eyes, smiles. Like, it's not hard.
Right.
You know?
It's really not. It's
really
available at every moment.
And they're simple. You know? Right. This is basic body language.
It's a good practice, too, that if you're someone who's dating right now and you're going out a lot, you're like, oh, God, not another date, or you're not, you could do it at a party. You could do it meeting someone, you know, lunch, wherever, standing in line for coffee. It's always available. So what about the women? What are you hearing from women in the sense of their feeling like right now in Me Too? Like, how can they train their nervous system? Or how can women slow it down? Like, what if a guy is being more unconscious or their partner and they want to bring it? So what can the women do?
you know, it's hard. So the nervous system training for women is to learn how to say no.
Well, that was my question.
I mean,
so
but
what
not
is
just
this
no,
collective-
like no, you know, it's like.
But we have such a hard time saying no. And that's also because of our years of being pleasers and trauma. And we, it was never okay to say no.
Yeah, you were beaten, abused, neglected, raped. I mean, all kinds of horrible shit.
So really that is the work. How do we say no? Because not for the sake of saying no, but like knowing when something feels like this is work I've had to do across in work, you know, bedroom, boardroom, everywhere. Yeah. Like how do you know what you truly want so you can say a no? Like I feel like I've often said yes to things just because it was easier. I think the no is so scary. What's going to happen if I say no? So really being, again, slowing down, knowing in the moment, being able to feel what you really want.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want a yes, you know, it's fine. But a lot of times
I hear from a lot of women who like would like to be a yes with the guy. Like that's why she went on the date with him, because she thought, hey, this seems like a good guy. Let me go out. But they're on the date and she's not feeling him feeling her. She's not feeling him. And so her body's still a no, even though intellectually she's like, I want to give this guy a chance. And so there's a lot of women who are in that state of confusion. Like I'm a maybe. Like I'm a not yet.
Right.
I'm a, you know what I mean? And communicating that. And so getting artful, I mean, I think the first step is women have to connect to their hearts. Right. And that, you know, that is a yoga in and of itself. They're like, what is my heart
for connecting?
Wanting now?
I was saying, you know, my heart is opening way more lately, but it's been shut down for my entire life. I mean, parents and childhood traumas and not trusting that someone's going to leave or abandon. I think we all have that. Some more open, or it was really open and then you got broken up with. I mean, I think mine shut down at such a young age, I don't remember. Yeah. So it's been a practice opening it.
Yeah.
And it's just really just being conscious that it was closed and then being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And also slowing down and being honest. But what have you seen through women opening their heart?
I think that, you know, it's hard to open your heart when you're not trusting the dude. And something that I suggest that women do a lot, which is in those moments where he's advancing and she's not ready, she could say, would you, you know, I like you. Would you like to know what I would need to trust you more?
That's the word. That's the say. Okay.
And most guys, if they're worth their salt, they're going to be, I want to know. Like, tell me, how do I win here? You know, like, I like you too. How do we make this work? And you might say, like, I just need you to slow down, or I need you to kind of stay with me, or I need you to not check your phone, or I need you to not look at the waitress's ass, or I need you to, like, you know, look into my eyes. I need you to move a little slow, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then he's got information, and it hasn't caused a massive disconnection. Mm-hmm. She's giving him information, and she's trusting him with her heart at some point, which men love. And I just think that's such an easy thing to do.
Yeah, and it's reminding me, like, it's just, and using that word trust too to someone's like, what other word could I would need to feel not safe?
Yeah, you could get a little more flowery and say what I would need to open to you.
Yeah.
Okay. What I would need to want to kiss you.
Because even in the moment, exactly. Because there are some advances. Like, I think that oftentimes when you're meeting someone, it's going too fast. Maybe you're on a date or the first few dates. It's not that you wouldn't want to have, we're talking about sexual advances. Mm-hmm. And not that you wouldn't want to have sex. Maybe you feel that attraction, but you're not ready yet. Mm-hmm. So to slow it down and say, rather than just saying, no, I don't want to, it's such a great way to let them know, no, I'm interested in you. I feel this connection, but I need a few more things. It could just be, you know what I would need to trust you? We need to go out again a few more times.
Yeah, perfect.
I need to see where you live. I need to know more about you. Because then they know, then they're already understanding that you're interested.
Yeah.
But you need something else. Yeah. And then that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Also for men in a way, like, I want to be that for you. I know we talk about challenge and purpose in life, but also in the moment, I think.
Well, another cute way to do this, I mean, you can do this without breaking any of the sexual energy. Like, for example, let's say you are making out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of going hot and heavy, and then he slides his hand down your pants and you know, it might just be a like, you know, you're not yet, or you haven't earned that yet. But so there's artful ways for women to say no, assuming that the guy will listen, right? And we would hope he would. But what I see a lot in women is they don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
And so they'll sell themselves out. They'll sell their bodies out. They'll sell themselves out, their hearts out, because they want to be a good girl, or they don't want to rock the boat, or they don't want to cause waves. And then they'll feel shitty afterwards going like, I really didn't want to go that far, or I really didn't want to have sex.
It's so common that women talk about having sex that they didn't want. And I'm not talking about necessary assault, rape. I'm talking about just, well, I'll give them a blowjob so I don't have to have sex, or to get shut him up, or because, oh, I owe it to him, or I just should. I'm going to grin and bear it. Yeah. I'm going to do it. And I don't find men doing that at all. No. Like, I feel like it's just women, this pleasing thing, this consciousness. And you're right, we do feel bad about it. It almost becomes part of our, like, I give them a blowjob, I give them pleasure, but we don't, you know, but it's not for us.
Well, you're actually training him to be mediocre.
It's true. Right? You're
training,
talk about that.
Yeah, you're training him, because if you're hard to know because he's not fully conscious or fully present, right? And you go along with it, how the fuck is he going to know? Like, he's just kind of being a guy and going, we don't know.
Men
are more dense. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we're like,
she always wanted to give me blowjobs all day long.
Yeah. What a generous woman.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. So you're actually training him, whereas you're actually like saying, okay, well, I can just be mediocre in my awareness, my attention, my movement, my just way of being, and I'll get a blowjob.
Right.
Great. Exactly. Lucky me, right? Versus if you would say, like, if there would be more of I would need, or just or you know, like, kind of swatting him away, or sometimes I think women can go so much farther than they think.
I think so too.
They could smack him on the shoulder and like say, no, not yet, or you haven't earned this yet, right. or not yet.
Not to go down to me for 30 minutes. I'm all for that.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. there could be all kinds of stipulations, but I think that the big point is that when women sell themselves out is the best way I could describe it, right? They their heart's not in it, and they go farther than they want to anyway. You're basically training the man to not pay attention.
Right.
And then he'll continue to do that as long as you're together. And then here you are 3, 4, 5, 6, 2 years down the road, right. And your like body feels shitty because you're having sex with a guy who doesn't pay attention.
Right. And you're not having pleasure, and you're not, it's like faking orgasms. It's like, where, like you're doing a disservice here for this guy and all the other people he's with. Like, you just know, be honest, get your own pleasure. I think once we train women to get out of that cycle of being pleasers, because men, you ever hear from men like, God, I kept going down on her all the time. I should stop doing that. Or, right? Like, why do I keep having sex with women? I guess you hear men. But you know what I'm saying? It's just very different. That it's
I keep having sex with women I don't want to have sex. Actually, I do hear that.
I do hear
that
too. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I can't stop sleeping with women on Tinder every night. But I mean, like, more like, it's more like about the nuanced acts that you do. Like, I've definitely had sex or given blowjobs or done something just as like a, let me get out of this situation. Not that it's harmful, but just like, it'll be easier to say yes than no.
Yeah.
And that's just not true. It's just that women are not as practicing no. And the more you say no and you really feel the no and you realize the response is even more respect and getting what you want, it'll get a lot easier for women. John Wineland, we're going to take a quick break and give a shout out to our sponsors, and we're going to come back. I have a few more questions for you. We're going to answer some emails.
Awesome.
Okay, everyone, thanks for supporting our sponsors. We'll be right back. Okay, I'm with John Wineland. Okay, John, let's talk more about, like, what is non-verbal consent? We're talking about how to read body language, and is a no really no? What's a yes? But let's talk a little bit more about that, how we can really get that for men and for women.
Yeah. Well, we'd kind of touched on the yes and the no's, and the not yet is kind of a good one, right?
Because sometimes it is not yet.
Yeah, sometimes it's not yet. Like, I'm kind of into you, but this is, you know, if you're just going too fast for me. And,
or I'm just tired right now, even. Like, it doesn't mean a rejection, right? Yeah, it's just not now. So, exactly. Okay.
So the trick is if you can continue to make yourself an invitation, meaning you're not, your heart's not shutting and you're not really saying no, so your body's still open and you're playful and, you know, and looking in the flirty, I guess would be a good way to put it, and you're moving his hand off, right? And so that's a great way to say, like, you know, that's a great way to say not yet, right? And most men who are worth their salt will get that.
Right.
I think that it's not like most men are predators. Most, you know, most men are horny, right?
Right.
And most men are slightly unconscious. Yeah, exactly. Right. And most men are unconscious, but they don't want to hurt you.
Right.
Right. And so they those verbal cues of, we talked about men paying attention, and I, you know, I personally think that men are 100% responsible for paying attention and really leading any moment, leading a date, leading a sexual moment. Not only is her body open or not open, but is there something going on inside of her?
Okay.
You know, for example, is there something emotional that I can sense that's not resolved? That
that's
if we had
practice,
sex,
though.
Yeah, but you know,
okay, but I love it.
Again, I think that if guys make the intention, like, I'm going to feel if us having sex is good for her,
right? That you can tell. You're right. It's like the art of the deal and business. You can feel things. You can bring this right into the bedroom. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Let's talk about the leading concept with men and women and leading in the bedroom. Leading in the relationship.
Well, I think it starts with what we just said, right? Like, if a woman is going to surrender her heart and body to me, like, which is what sex is, real good sex, and is she ready for that? Am I ready for that? Are we ready for that? Like, is there clarity around what this is? Like, is this a one night stand? Is this a fling? Is there something more that's possible? And making sure that that's clearly communicated is a great part of leadership. So if we're dating and we're on the third date and it's like feeling like we want to have sex, but I can feel that I'm not ready for a relationship and you really want one, and I go ahead and have sex with you, right? Knowing that you're going to get more connected. That's just the way the body works. That's the way nature works. I'm a bit of a dick. Really?
Right?
Because I'm putting my need for instant gratification over your heart. And I don't necessarily feel great about it afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, I might have a little bit of like, oh, I got laid, but that's not the most guys, you know, like I said, most guys want to be good guys. And I just think there's a matter of making the decision that I'm going to feel whether this is good for everybody. Is the world a better place if we have sex tonight? Is a good way to put it. Right.
Like, after I said, how am I going to feel? But sometimes I just could feel like I'm just trying to think about people who are into sleeping with a lot of partners because that builds up their own ego. Again, they're not that conscious, I suppose. Someone who's just doing it for sport and to feel really good about themselves.
It's usually like, an addiction. So they're covering up some kind of either deep pain or, I mean, you know this, right? This is your field. Yeah. And so we're talking more about people who are decent people and wanting to really like have good sex. And so the consent thing, I think if women would trust their no's and their not yet's, and would try to, let's put it this way, trust that the man will not leave. Trust that like love won't be
such
taken
a good
away.
Point. Yeah. We're so afraid of being abandoned. Someone's going to break up with us, leave us, either from because of a childhood wound, it happened to you when you were in fifth grade. It doesn't matter, but there is this fear of like, if I say no to sex, I don't give him a blowjob. I don't say yes to dinner, whatever it is. You know, I say no to something that it's all taken away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's just so much power in saying no when you, and you realize it doesn't get taken away. It's a practice though, to trust
Absolutely.
The process.
It's a spiritual practice to think like, I'm going to not act as if I'm going to lose love by any decision that I make. Right.
So you're coming from a place of love, truly loving yourself is what it is.
Yes. Yeah. And him. Because again, you're not doing him any favors by giving him a blowjob when he hasn't been present enough to really earn it.
Right. And we think if he's not to earn it, and we think it's going to get us something, but what is it that you want from that? Like, the reason I think we're saying yes is, or it's either because we think, well, if I do this, then I'm going to get this. Like, it's a quid pro quo or something, but it's also yes is just easier because it means this person won't leave. So I'm going to get something, a physical act, or I'm just not going to have the loss of love, which we find doesn't happen, which I think is just an important message. Mm. Okay, John, there's so many more things I want to talk to you about here. And so I have some emails from the listeners. Mm. I'd love for you to help me answer them because I think we're going to get into even some more couples dynamics and what goes on in relationships and dating. Okay, everyone, I love answering your questions. It's why I do what I do. If you want your question answered on the show, text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Fill out the short form. And if you want to be called on the show, just put yes, a little yes in the box. I love doing our call shows. They're so much fun. John, you should come back for a call show. It's so great because you can get into it. Yeah. And so do that. We love it. You can be anonymous. You can change your name. We're cool with that. Or go to my website, sexwithemily.com. Click on the Ask Emily tab and include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, this is from Florencia. She's 22. Hey, Emily, I'm a fairly new listener and I love the show. I'm 22, my boyfriend is almost 34, and everything is great except for how I feel about sex. Mm. I feel like it's a nourishing, healthy, and loving relationship, but many times having sex is a chore. Before we got into the relationship, I feel like I loved him, but that attraction and fire I feel when I see a very hot guy just wasn't there. I love his personality, and I'd say he's pretty good in bed, only person who's ever been able to make me come, although just orally. I feel like if I don't start feeling very physically attracted to my boyfriend, I'll end up cheating on him or breaking up, which crushes me because I love him. It's not like I'm repulsed. I just don't feel that, oh my God, I want to fuck you so bad that I felt in the past. This stresses me because I feel like my boyfriend is the one I want to marry, but at the same time, I'm missing out on things other 22-year-olds do. Please help. So I like this question because, yeah, it's true. She's young. Yeah, a lot of times I'm like, you're 22, and I think about that, but I get the whole, like, first of all, the missing out thing, but most importantly, that early stage is when it's so great and the chemicals are flying and you're so into it. And then you're like, am I really attracted to this person after a few months, a few years together? Mm-hmm. And I think it's classic that it can fade after a while, and attraction is really important part of any relationships. And I love that he's giving you orgasms, but it sounds like there could be something else going outside the bedroom. Maybe she's not as, you know, connected to him in other ways. There could be other things in the relationship. So what would be your take on this?
Yeah, well, I think it goes to the thing we started with, which is if a woman's attraction to a man is more about the trust, like I trust him to take me someplace deeper than I can take myself more often than just the physical. Whereas for men, it's often more in the physical, right? Physical and energetic, right? Can she give me the energy that's going to nourish me and light me up? And, you know, can I trust this man with my deepest heart? And so if she's not feeling attraction, it kind of goes to what we were talking about. Like, he's not connecting deeply to her, right? He's not.
Right. He's not, there's something going on.
He's not feeling deeply into her. He's not paying attention to her body. He's not, like, he's not taking her someplace that she couldn't take herself.
Okay.
I just wrote a piece on why you get ghosted or why you get left.
Oh, why? Yeah. Okay.
And the whole thing I came to is, if you're a masculine partner and you're in a situation like, you know, Florencia, right? If she leaves, it's because he didn't take her someplace that she knew she longed to go, right? There's a place in her heart. There's a place in her body. There's a place in sex. There's a level of surrender. There's all of those things that she intuited were possible, and he wasn't taking her there, so she will look elsewhere.
Right.
If he was taking her there,
right? So what would this conversation be like?
She's honest. Listening
to the show.
Be fucking honest.
But how would she not? She'd be like, "You need to take me somewhere," but I don't even know where I want to go because so many people don't even know what they want, but they're not getting it.
Right.
She's like, "I don't know what it is," but how would they start this couple?
Well, I would start with what I would need. Like, what I would need in order to want to surrender more sexually. What I would need to be more turned on. What I would need to feel more.
Let's give some examples of that. Let's just pretend we don't know Florencia. All we know is that she's having orgasms, but she can't quite put her finger on it. So I'm going to push her. She still might go, "I don't know. Everything's great." But eventually, you guys, we do know.
Yes. Exactly.
Everything's not great, Florencia. So, so some examples could be like, what I would need is you to, maybe he works a lot. It could be he's 12 years. Maybe if you worked less, if you could make more time for the relationship, I would trust you more.
Go slower
during sex. Right. I would trust you more.
Not just be like a, you know, blowtorch. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. What I would need is
command
to be
more.
Romance.
Command me more. Right.
Tell
I'm
me what to do.
Getting some nods here, right?
Yeah.
Like, tell me what to do. Like, tell me what to take, you know, be more fierce. I want to feel more of your killer. I want to feel more of your, like, I want to feel more of that ravished energy. Right. And if he does it, if he does it one night, like let's say, and she really lets him know how much she loves it, he will make a note.
He will continue to
put it,
reinforce
in the
it. And not
absolutely.
Just like, thanks, babe, that was great.
Yeah.
What's the best way to, sometimes I feel like I compliment people or my partner and he's like, he doesn't, it's like, it just goes right over him. But I know we all like words of compliments, but
compliment him in the moment with excessive energy. So let's say he, you know, he does something, he pins your arms down or something and you love it, right? You could just go, or you could like amplify it.
I'd be like, I love that.
Yeah, like,
oh
my God. Like an oh my God is great, right? It's not like you're lying,
right?
But you're actually just practicing amplifying the energy, which men are more dense. Our nervous systems are more dense.
Right. So if you connect that energy with your words, I totally get it.
Yeah. So like an, oh my God. And then he will know. And then if he does something that you're not crazy about and you just kind of give him, right. And so you're directing him in bed, right? He touches you a certain way and you're like,
right.
But then when he touches you beautifully, you're like,
that's where all the noise comes from, you guys, the porn. Because usually when something's great, we want to make more noise. Only if it's natural, you're not imitating something.
Don't lie,
saw.
But if you animate it, you will feel
it
more, and you'll be training him how to do the things that you like. And then after sex, you can say like, oh my God, baby, when you like slapped my ass like that, I went to a different planet.
Right.
And
exactly.
Again, ding, ding, you know, men want to win, and winning is making you feel like we've taken you someplace you can't take yourself.
So now I hear that it's so true. I hear this though. And what I'm hearing back is her boyfriend going, well, what do you mean? What do you, how do you want me to lead in the bedroom? I feel like that. I hear that from a lot of listeners. Yeah. They're always saying, she told me she wants me to take control, but I don't know what that looks like. And I just keep saying, you got to ask them, ask her to explain to you what it might look like for you to take control. But there's so much more conversations that have to happen. So
well, that's tricky because then she's leading. Right. Which is so she's now what, she's in the masculine.
So, but I feel like guys, what if he says back to her, I don't know what that means, which happens all the time, John. So you're right. It's very hard not to lead then. So you would tell her not to explain it.
I try to teach women to do what we just talked about.
Energetically.
Make it an energetic, like train him with your pleasure.
So she would say, what I need you to do, what I would really need to trust you more is for you to take more control. And then he's going to email me next week and say, my girlfriend asked me to take control in the bedroom and I don't know what it means. And then I'll often say, ask her, watch porn, have her point out things that she likes. And you're saying he should just.
That's all great. Okay. Well, I mean.
Especially with consent. They're like, I don't know what it means to throw against the wall. Like, I'm just trying to break it down to like people.
Take more control a guy can't do much with. Be more fierce. Look me in the eye. Grab me hard. Like the more that she gives him feedback that he can literally do in the moment, right? Take more control.
Be very specific.
Be specific. Uh-huh. Like
as specific
slap my
as you
ass,
can be.
You know, grab my throat. Pull my hair. You know, look deeply into my eyes. Talk dirty to me.
Right.
We did a whole thing on talking dirty.
Did
right?
you?
Oh yeah. And people are all fucked up around.
I know. Let's talk about that for a second, though. What were they fucked most? Just how to say it? What to do?
Well, because guys' nervous systems are freak out about actually saying, you know, I want to grab your throat and throw you against the wall. I mean, you know, or I want to rip your fucking heart out. Right. But if it's done with, a wide open heart and that limbic connection we talked about, it's sexy. If it's not, I mean, if you're connected, you can say the most heinous things to each other.
Exactly. You really can.
And
it's kind of hot.
I want you to crawl across the floor and lick my toe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and she'll be like,
yes, whatever.
The more specific she can get with him,
I think it's specific.
The better.
Okay. Yeah. I think you're right. This is from Andrew, 59 in California. Hello. I have many new challenges in my life. I'm a newly recovering alcoholic, 2 years sober. Now I find myself living an actual life after many years of avoiding that. In fact, I found a woman I really like and we're dating. It's pretty clear that sexual relations are in the cards. However, I haven't had any intimate relations for about a decade. It's pretty terrifying. I have many issues with anxiety over the expected male performance, but really the most complex issue is rediscovering trust, intimacy, and sensuality that I've been away from that for so long. Do you have any advice for people in recovery whose life has opened up to feelings that has been dormant for so long?
God bless you, man. I'm 23 years sober.
Well, that's why I thought this would be a great question for you as well. Because I have a lot of friends and you've gone through this too, and just in life. Like, that is a really hard thing when you've always used alcohol perhaps to numb. That's easier to make advances and be intimate. But when you don't have the absence of that, what would you say here to Andrew?
I think we covered it.
Okay.
Pay attention, slow down, use breath to stay in your body, relax the front of your body, practice feeling her heart. Actually start having sex before you're having sex. So that means, you know, you can start to feel her and breathe with her and feel inside of her and feel, you know, and literally begin the act of sex way before there's even touching or kissing, right? And the moment that there's that sexual polarity, command her a little bit. Come sit next to me, baby. Right? Come sit next to me. Come sit on my lap. That's sex in my world, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, it's true. Be commanding. Yeah. But I think also, though, that I want him to also, I'm hearing this, that to take the pressure off, because I think that 10-year, this is when he's even with someone. I think there might be some fear about even going to lunch right now and starting to date and put it out there. And there's this fear of like, it's been so long and how am I going to do it? And I would say it might be a little awkward at first. Like it probably is. But I think the more you do it, you'll realize it's so much easier to be present and to pay attention to what's going on in the moment. And I think just the more honest you can be. And again, that you don't have to be jump towards sex right now. You could also just date people, go to lunch with, start practicing being around women, being around their energy again. Because if you actually haven't even really gone there at all, you could have a bunch of lunches. You could just decide it's going to be just practice the art of flirting and the art of like being with women without the expectation that it is going towards sex. Because then what's, you know, men also need that trust and they want to feel connected. So I think that just putting yourself out there and doing it, it'll become easier over time. Again, once you get back into it.
I like the, what you said about training, you know, training your nervous system to be around the feminine again and literally, you know, taking that in and practicing being around, go with two or three women and then practice really breathing and paying attention. Like you can actually practice on dates, have practice dates where you go out and you practice doing these things where nothing happens, but you just hone your skills of paying attention, trying to lead a little better, trying to set the container, you know, rather than say, hey, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Like you're like,
we you, like it. You make plan, a plan. It.
Yeah.
Make a plan.
Yeah. Make a plan. Own the whole thing. Open her door. Walk her in. Like literally hold the container for her and practice that. So I love that idea. Train your nervous system to get used to the energy of dating again.
Right. And just go out with women. Even if you want to be friends with them, people from meetings, like just practice that. Okay. Good.
You'll be fine, brother.
You will be fine. Yeah. Okay, so we've got another one. This is from April 26th, Indiana. Hey, Emily, I'm so happy to have found your show. I think it's so important to remember that sex is one of the most beautiful parts of life and that our pleasure can go far beyond what we imagine. My husband and I have been married for almost 3 years. Neither of us were virgins when we met, but we decided to wait until marriage to sleep with each other. We ended up having some very unique circumstances in our first year of marriage that led to my husband having a lot of anxiety around sex. My main question is about how I could be more in charge in the bedroom. He is amazing in the bedroom and puts a lot of energy into pleasing me. We're always in positions where he's in control and doing more of the work. I'm very generous with offering blowjobs and handjobs, but I'd like to be more in charge during intercourse. The standard girl on top position hurts my hips. I'm also not great with my stamina to be the one thrusting, but I'd like to get better. What positions or tips do you have for me to rock his world where he sits back and relaxes? Thanks again for all you do. I look forward to hearing from you. So I read this and I was like, huh, you know, it's less about the positions and more about her kind of letting go sexually and talking to him because she's making assumptions here that he gives me so much, so I should give to him. And we don't even know that he thinks that. So I also think that you have to let go more rather than come in like Emily told me to do this spooning position or do some reverse cowgirl. Because we don't know if that's what he wants. I don't even know if that's what you want. And so I think you both have to work together on taking charge of your sex life is what I'm feeling rather than being reactive to that. And that'll leave some of the pressure, I think, on both ends. So what did you...
Yeah, you know, what came to me is what men love in bed. And what men love is cock worship.
Good. Right? I love some straightforward penis talk here. Yes. Yep.
So that doesn't, you know, that means like, so maybe you like sit him back in a chair and you get a bunch of roses and you rub them up and down his cock and you like literally bring the, I don't know, the sense of like
worship the cock.
Worship right. The cock. Like I am sucking divine cock right now. And if he feels you feeling that, there's not much better on the planet.
So true.
There's not much better
rather
on the planet.
Rather than just like the perfunctory blowjob, I gotta give you a blowjob. I love that you said that because when I first read this earlier, I was like, giving you, like I'm generous and I'm offering blowjobs. And I thought to myself, I want her to learn to love the blowjob. Like I want women, if you're giving a blowjob, don't just, oh, I gotta do it with your eyes closed. Like, how do you teach women though to learn? It's been a while since I've talked about this. Like really worshiping, just like we want them to worship our pussy.
Yeah.
If they're like, ew, but it's gross and I do have to close my eyes. How do we teach that? I mean, I think it really is a practice. And once you do it, it might seem silly, but no guy's going to be like, stop worshiping.
The way that you could do this, if you believe in the divine, you could actually feel all men through his cock, right? You could feel everything happening in the universe through his cock. You could literally feel God, if that's where you want to go with this, through his cock. But if he feels you worshiping the deepest part of him, right? Worship is much different. Is a worshipful blowjob is one of the greatest things on a planet. I think most guys will agree with me on that. Where her heart is breaking, giving you because she loves you so much through this blowjob. And the second piece is if you animate your pleasure at giving it, right? So if you have any pleasure at all, I'm not saying you should fake it, but if you have any pleasure at all in giving the blowjob, yeah, if you animate it, like just let him know how much you're enjoying this, right? That is also the most remarkable thing. Mm-hmm. And that can happen in any position. That could happen with a hand job. That could happen with a blowjob. That could happen just with full body tickling. I mean, you know, worship itself is one of the most underrepresented sexual practices around.
I totally agree. Yeah. Taking turns and worshiping women as well. But I think the one thing is when men, and we'll go back to the how could men do this for women, but I think it's funny because women, I think that, or what I often want to talk about blowjobs, what the men have always said this since I've interviewed them, like, what's your idea of a perfect blowjob? They're like, enthusiasm. I mm-hmm. want to know.
Absolutely. Really.
And it's exactly what you're saying. You know, like you're licking the most delicious ice cream cone and that mm-hmm. it's amazing, but it really is about if guys don't want you to give this boring ass, like, oh my God, what am I get through it? Like you're swallowing medicine. Like, mm-hmm. no, like you have to be in it. And even if it's also a practice of learning to be into it, because you're like, but I never have been. I believe that many women or who's ever giving a blowjob could learn to mm-hmm. to love it, because it becomes part of your own art in a way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So what about for men who have, you know, that come to you or like want to learn how to, you know, worship women more? What would you tell them? Do you think it goes the same?
I just gave this practice to somebody this morning. And, you know, lay her down, right? Spread her legs, set up like a sacred space, like put music on, maybe there's candles, right? Like literally create a space for worship. And then take your time with that whole lower part of her body as if you are entering the gates of heaven. Because you are.
You right? are.
You are. And if you can feel past her, you know, just past her pussy, past everything that we're taught, you know, focus on the clit and, you know, all those kinds of things. You can feel past that into the depth of her heart and the core of her. And you can feel as she's getting turned on, her heart opening. You're going to be very turned on yourself. And then it's the same thing. Enthusiasm also mm-hmm. works for men as well. Like if she can tell you're, you know, this is like honey that you're licking, she's going to be very turned on. And that's also,
I love that practice. Yes. Because I think I often, I'm thinking about all the guys who are saying, oh, my neck hurts, whatever, it's uncomfortable. You can create a position. Cause I pictured, I'm like, why can't, you know, she moved to the edge of the bed or the couch and mm-hmm. you can choose your position mm-hmm. here. If you're going to go down and worship, we're cool. You taking time to set things up. So it's comfy for both of us.
Absolutely. Set things up.
Like, let her know you're settling in. I always say the best thing you can tell a woman is like when you're performing oral, cause there's a lot of women who have anxiety about receiving, just saying, babe, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here all night. Settle in.
Yeah.
Cause we want to know that you want to be there. But if you're setting up an altar, like that's next level. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can relax because you can feel that I've got it. Like this is not just of some chore that I'm doing. Like this is a fucking sacred act that I am blessed to have the opportunity to do. And you know, the last thing I'd say about that is make it goalless. Like if there's any goal at all, it's like, I want her to feel how much I love her through the way I'm licking her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or just true. How without the goal of orgasm.
Yeah, without the goal of orgasm, or, you know what I mean? I mean, we can get into technique, you know, fingering ass. I mean, you know, you can do all that kind of stuff, but it's really all of that doesn't happen and is not proper unless she can feel your heart again, feeling her heart. And once you do that, you can get as nasty as all
get
out. Yep.
You're more likely to get your needs met once you guys connect on that level.
Yeah.
John Weiland, I love this. Our second show. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it's my
pleasure. So much wisdom. We're dropping so much wisdom. Yeah, I love it.
Fun talk.
Yeah, it was really fun. So everyone can check you out, johnweiland.com, mm-hmm. WineLand, all your social media. We can post it all on our show notes. Your book's coming soon.
Yep.
I understand that everything that you're doing is sold out, but is there a wait list?
Yeah, there's the wait list for couples and women for the workshops I have. I have a couple spots for women left in New York in 2 weeks, if any of your listeners are in New York.
Is it for a weekend?
It's for a weekend, yeah, Women's Weekend. And if you are a man, I have a few spots, 3 or 4 spots left in LA for November.
Okay.
So those are the only two things and I have.
It's a week. Okay, cool.
It's a weekend as well, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Great. Well, good luck with your book and everything.
And we'll work it with all the stuff, what crazy shit we're talking about.
Okay, right? Yeah. It's great, you guys. It's very powerful work. I've been wanting to go back with my boyfriend, perhaps. We will talk about that offline. Thank you, John, for being here.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks to my amazing listeners. I love you all. And to my team, Ken, Sarah, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.